This is Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions with Gerald Yao Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Ryan Cook.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. I am your host, Ryan Cook. Fellas, we're down another man this week. We're only at round eight, but already Fogs has called stumps and taken off on a vacation. 3 days off now by my count on this show.
Three?
So we might require
must be nice.
We might require a doctor's certificate going forward.
I think you have to. I mean, this is my third year.
You haven't missed a show.
Never missed a show.
I know. How the other half live, huh?
I don't know.
Good for me.
I don't know. It's consistent. It's what I try to pride myself on.
The Iron Man, Gerald Yao Yi. On the flip side, the finest mind the game of rugby league has ever seen is back, fresh from his honeymoon.
I'm not sure if we call it fresh.
Yeah, he's not fresh.
Not fine.
A big congrats to Oscar Panifex for tying the knot over the last week or so.
Thank you, mate.
You might be shocked to learn, mate, that 95% of our listener base is female. Not really.
That is shocking.
Ladies, he's off the market. He's back on the show. Oscar, how you going, mate?
Yeah, good. Thankful to be back. You just referred to Gerald as the Iron Man of the podcast. Well, I've got the iron lungs of the podcast after living on the barley cigarette diet for the last 7 days. But yes, happy to be here. Gosh. Keen to talk some footy.
Iron boys. Belly as well.
Let's just stick with the lungs.
Okay. And still the undefeated coach of the Western Rana Panthers, Tessie News' biggest enthusiast. It's Gerald Yao Yi.
Yeah, it's good to get the round one away, win away, boys. Started off 30% completion in the first half and still was up 10-4.
Oh, wait.
Defensively, we're pretty sound. I'll say that. That's something that we've worked on a lot at Arana. We wanted to be pretty good defensively this year. We know that defence wins competitions. So kept them to 8, should have kept them to 4, but we were dropping like flies over the weekend. We had Hoffey go down, hit a knee clash in the first 5 minutes. Didn't carry it back on the bench, so that's a learning curve from the coach. And not only that, we had two boys go off with stitches, one with 9, the other...
9 stitches?
9 stitches Holy and dude. Possibly won't play this weekend. Concussion to another bloke who probably won't play this weekend as well. So we're calling in the cavalry. I've signed a few actually today, more people today to get the cavalry in. So we'll be right. Round two, Sanford Stags against the Sanford Stags at West Arana. This game is the local derby. It's going to be big. A bit of... bit of hiss-hus-hus in the first little trial that we had against them. So looking forward to seeing what the crowd's going to be like on Saturday with no rain, hopefully, a dry track and some really good footy.
Sammy Thaiday back this week?
Sammy Thaiday is back against his old club this week because he played at the Stags last year, took them all the way to a grand final. They lost that. But, he'll be back this week packing in the middle with big Corbin Sims.
Putting bums in seats, no doubt.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. Wherever you are listening from, get down to Arana on Saturday.
Shout out. All right, speaking of injuries there, Gerald, we've got to get into some Caelan Ponga and Newcastle Knights chat. I'm sure the listeners probably already know, but Ponga is out for 12 weeks with a Lisfranc injury. Plenty of chat about Newcastle's duty of care and the management of him last week. So, boys, we'll quickly talk about Ponga in general here. What do you make of Adam O'Brien's, decision to play him?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've got to understand it's not always just up to the coaches. You know, there's a whole, group of people there who are making the right decisions, including physios, doctors, Caelan himself. So, at the end of the day, the last word is Caelan's word. So, as much as, we can go out and, throw a wedge between the coaching staff, everyone else, I would think that he's mature enough to understand that should he be playing and should he not be playing. Look, you don't win comps in this early in the season. It does help to get off to a great start, but look what happens now. He's got 12 weeks off. He not only misses, great footy for the Knights, but he'll miss another Origin series, which is 2 years gone for Caelan Ponga not to play in another Queensland jersey, which I think is absolutely ludicrous. Which the fact that, he is a guy that should be playing in not only Origin jerseys but Australian sides as well. So it's disappointing. It's disappointing to be a Knights fan if you are, but also a Queenslander. You're taken away from a lot of his footy that for years to come.
Yeah. The Lisfranc injury, we're not doctors on this show, obviously, but that's sort of the kind of injury that some players would try and play through, I'd imagine. Jerome Hughes did the same thing recently. So I guess, is Adam O'Brien to blame here, or are you guys of the opinion that Ponga is in charge of himself and he makes that decision.
Yeah, Jarrell no better than either of us about how those kind of situations work. I think it was the hip pointer that he carried into that game, and he obviously felt that it was a pain management issue that he could get through.
Yep.
And then maybe, you know, because of that hip pointer injury, was he moving differently on the foot? Was it just, was it coincidence that he cops another injury in that week? I think I'd be more concerned as a Knights fan, not about whether or not Adam O'Brien chose to play Kalen, but the way that the Knights played last week against a Bulldog side that had one prop on the bench, who then lost another prop in the first 2 minutes of that game, carrying three small bodies on the bench for 75 minutes.
Yep.
All Newcastle needed to do in that game was four hit-ups to a kick, and by the 60th minute, the fatigue in the Bulldogs would have allowed Newcastle to run home, whether or not Kalen Ponga was on the field in the second half or not. And instead, I think Newcastle finished up 73% completions. They were pushing the ball around a lot. Like, they conceded a couple of early points, which, to me, it looked like there was just a bit of panic.
You're chasing.
They were chasing points, but they didn't need to chase them.
No.
Like, all they needed to do, like I said, was complete their sets, and fatigue would have done the job for them. So, like, that, I texted to the boys, it might have been a little bit of Bali come down for me as well, but that was the first game of footy I turned off in the first time in 4 years that I've turned off a game of football.
Says a lot
watching
for you.
Yeah.
Because it was frustrating to see Newcastle beat themselves in that game. Like, credit to the Bulldogs, they're improving. You know, I think there's some better balance and some more repeatable actions in their attack. So full credit to Canterbury as well. But yeah, the Newcastle Knights lost that one last week.
Yeah,
you talk about frustration. The fans are frustrated with the chopping and changing through the halves.
Yeah, great point.
They're looking for some reliability through the middle of the ground. What are we going to see from Newcastle now? First of all, who comes in to play fullback? And do you think Adam O'Brien finally says, hey, we need to have a stable ground here with the team list?
Yeah, well, that was one of the arguments going into this game for me. I tipped the Knights, was that their spine was far more familiar. They've spent more, I think Jarrell, you even said it, they've spent more time on the park together.
Yep.
Late change, Cogger is pulled out, Hastings and Gamble are into the halves. And they just looked clueless, really. I thought Jaden Brayley had some really nice touches in the last 2 weeks, but those combinations weren't there. My immediate thought when KP was ruled out was that Will Price would come in and play fullback for the Knights. He's a young, I think he's an English boy. He's still very young. I think he's playing six at the moment in New South Wales Cup, but he spent a bit of time at fullback in the trials, and he looks very, 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 very smooth.
Capable.
Big, tall body, rangy, he's quick across the ground. He's got some ball playing about him. They've also been playing Armstrong at fullback in New South Wales Cup, and that was the name that Adam O'Brien mentioned in the presser. So whether or not that was a bit of a red herring from AOB or a sign of what's to come, I think they've got options there, but yeah, certainly not of the caliber of KP.
Would you entertain Gagai taking some reps there?
Yeah, that's another good shout as well. If he's fit, I wouldn't rule that out either. Yeah.
Okay. So now sitting 15th on the ladder at 2-5, we've already sort of spoken about O'Brien, but do you think the Knights maybe jumped the shark a little bit, signing him to a long-term deal after that run of 10 wins last year?
There's been a fair bit of chat on the socials about that over the weekend. The Newcastle Knights going from almost sacking Adam O'Brien to then re-signing him long-term after a couple of big... Like, it was an impressive run into finals. They beat some pretty poor teams going into last year's finals.
Are we seeing something like an Adam O'Brien being more under pressure? Is he a better coach, you know, when he is under pressure? Because now he's signed the, you know, now it's done. He's probably just more relaxed now.
Maybe.
That's done and dusted. I would never say that, you know, a coach never drops off. Like, it's not what they do. But, you know, you sort of, anything you do, I suppose, as a coach, I mean, I haven't been a coach for a long time, but you sort of understand you're trying to make the right decisions at the time. But when he's under pressure, you've got it. It's not you kind of do, you have to.
Yep.
So now he's probably just, you know, given that opportunity, he's like, oh, well, we can play with a few things now. We can, you know, now we've got a bit more time. I've got a bit more time. We can play with a few things. So I put a line through him. I know that sounds terrible.
It's easy to do.
You know, I just think that we put a line through him with no KP till, what is it, 12 weeks, they said?
9-12, I think. Yeah. Somewhere like that.
Like, they're, you know, they're, If they win four of those games, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah,
yeah, out of the 12, because he is a big part of how they play their footy, and the spine is something is very hard to get going when you don't have it right.
It doesn't get any easier for the Knights this week. They got the Finns, who proved last week that they can get up even with their list of outs. And I also think South Sydney's sort of taken a bit of pressure off Newcastle the way they're playing. So
can we just continue to not talk about South, please?
We can do that right now. Let's get into some Raiders chat. Oscar, you were away last week, and we did speak about Canberra at length. But the other big injury news that we do need to get into is Jamal Fogarty.
Enormous,
who is set to miss basically the whole year with a biceps injury.
Yep.
Last week's blowout to Brisbane aside, it felt like the Raiders were on track for a spot in the eight.
Yep.
Probably somewhere in the bottom half of the eight, but Fogarty's easily been one of their best players on the park so far this year. It seems like they're not going to trouble some of the top teams, but we've got a very inexperienced spine now at Canberra. Yep. Xavier Savage, Chevy Stewart, KO Weeks probably comes in. There's only like 20 games worth of experience between those three.
Yep.
What are we feeling about the Raiders, and how big of a loss is this for that club?
Yeah, well, I was listening to the potty last week while I was away, talking about, well, Jarrell, you were saying we want to keep talking about the milk and ruin their chances. Yeah. Sorry, Uncle Jarrell. He was the one player in this 2024 Raiders squad that they couldn't afford to lose going into this season. I wrote a big piece about all those young guys, Weeks, Strange, Stewart, Savage, coming into this season and where they might all fit in. I assumed we would see all of them at some stage this year, which, except for Weeks, we have so far. Fogarty, not only has he been one of their best players, but he's been their most important. Like the Raiders, I've spoken about this a few times on the pod, they've introduced some repeatable actions to their attack this year. Ethan Strange doing some good things on that left edge. Danny Levi's having a bit of a career revival out of dummy half as well. They've always been that gritty, effort-based team who put themselves there or thereabouts to win games. And then it's been these guys like Strange, Savage, Timoko, Rapana and Fogarty who have been actually coming up with those winning plays. I'm really curious to see who gets named in the seven jersey this week. Yep. Simi Sasagi finished the game there last week because he was the utility option off the bench. You mentioned KO Weeks. He's not a seven any more than Strange is, any more than Stewart is. Do we see Sebastian Chris move into the halves like Ricky used him at different times last year? It's going to be very interesting to see how they balance out their attack now, because Fogarty's the guy who was putting all these young superstars into positive areas on the field. Are they going to be able to be as effective, like as impressive as Ethan, for example, has been in his first seven or eight games in first grade? Is he going to be able to maintain that without a guy like Jamal putting him in a position?
Is it a credit to Jamal as well? I mean, like, if we talk about when he was at the Titans, they were actually on a really good trajectory.
Going
places. And then they obviously put their the Titans chose Tanner and who's at the Bulldogs now?
Toby.
Sexton. Put faith into them too. And look where the Titans are. I think, you know, we probably don't talk about how important Jamal Fogarty is to size.
He's probably very underrated.
Very underrated, He obviously does the right things to make sure teams know where to get to on the field, where how they need to play other sides. You cannot take away from an old head, right? Like, he's obviously been around for a long time, and it is going to be very hard to fulfill those shoes with Jamal Fogarty now and the Raiders. Didn't want to put the mocker on him, but look what's happened.
It's one week of talking about
him, and they've lost their star half. And yeah, it doesn't get, well, it's not going to get any easier for them as well. I mean, especially when you travel to the Broncos, they have such a great record in Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah.
To get put away like they did after Jamal, you know, obviously went off, you know, does it show where the Raiders are, or does it show where the Broncos are? I don't know.
Bit of both,
I think. But yeah, it's going to be a hard, year for them if he's not there.
As you already said, Jarrell, they got the Sharks on Sunday, who are absolutely flying right now. Speaking of things that aren't flying, though, our bets in Ned's Open Groups. Gosh. When we come back, we'll get stuck into the offload.
All the betting trends from around the comp. This is The Offload.
Funny man Fogs is away, but that doesn't mean we can't get down and dirty with some betting. It's still tough going in Ned's Open Groups, as I just said, but to pick apart the markets, Oscar, you're back on the offload, mate.
Something, Oscar.
Yeah, give please. Give us some green.
I'll try. Put me in a hole, boys.
Ticks.
Let's talk top eight, and in particular, three teams that have exceeded expectations so far. Mm. The Sharks, the Finns, and Manly.
Yep.
You're going to write a piece on the Ned's blog that's coming out today, or maybe tomorrow, about what those three teams are doing correctly.
Yeah, well, I wrote 2 weeks ago about a few big clubs outside the eight, and why, you know, maybe we don't need to be too worried about where they're going to be later in the year. So I thought I'd flip it around this time and have a look at a few clubs inside the top eight that have maybe surprised a little bit this year. Cronulla, I think, off the back of that big win in round seven, are worth looking at this week. It's really interesting to compare where they were this time last year. 159 points scored so far this season. This point last year, 160 points scored. So almost identical in terms of what they're doing.
Yeah,
in
and
attack.
Didn't we see them just fall apart? Towards the back end of the year.
Yeah, I think
not throughout the year. They sort of just fell off right at the end.
Their defense certainly let them down in the back half of last year, and I think it's still that's going to be the biggest focus.
It's an incredible stat
for Fitzy. Yeah, it was. Well, that surprised me. But
you've been busy on your week.
Well, the reason I looked into that number in particular was because for me the Sharks they're just presenting as a much more balanced team in attack. This year, they've been, particularly with a guy like Nico, who's so good at identifying cues in the defensive line. So, for example, if a middle forward makes a legs tackle and he's the third man to peel out of that tackle, he retreats late down a short side. So you've got a big body filling up in a position where he's not supposed to be. Nico is the exact kind of half who will see that and quickly adjust and target that guy on the following tackle.
Yep.
So Cronulla play a lot like that. And the squad is really well designed to do that. Will Kennedy's lightning quick out the back. They've got powerful outside backs and they've got ball players through the middle who can move the ball to where it needs to go. But Nico is being really well supported by my boy Braden Trindle this year. 4 tries and 4 assists from Tricky Trindle. And then Blake Brayley doing some nice things around the ruck. Nico's touches are around about the same. He averaged 67.1 touches per game last year. This year down to 62.5 per game. So only 5 touches less per game. But it's what he's doing with those touches that's changed so much. Last year, 1.3 try assists per game on average. This year, 0.8. So it's almost half the amount of try assists that Nico's producing. Line break assists, same. 1.6 per game last year, down to 0.7 this year. So on paper, it looks like Nico's doing less, but that's because the teammates around him are offering, I guess, more threats to the defense.
Yeah, gotcha.
He's not having to do as much. And to me, that's the sign of a team that's finding ways to balance out their attack a lot more. Mm. I've been really impressed with what they're doing with the ball. I think, as I mentioned, their defense, particularly around Nico, which we'll talk about leading into Origin because he's looming as a number six candidate for the Blues, but his defense, but the spaces around Nico continue to be a target for attacking teams. But yeah, really impressed with what the Sharks are doing in terms of developing their attack. Mm.
When Fogs comes back next week, we will pick our Origin teams. Let's talk my Finns. How are you feeling about them?
Yeah, well, I harped on about Isaiah Katoa a few weeks ago, the little things that he's doing on the ball to compress the defensive line and put Hammer into space. I think I messaged you guys after about 13 Bintangs from a pub in Bali over the weekend. Isaiah Katoa is him.
Yep.
This kid is doing things that Nathan Cleary, you know, has been doing to earn himself Origin jerseys all the... Katoa is doing everything right now.
Is he a Queenslander? No, he's not.
No, Tonga. I think with Isaiah in the box seat, the Finns are taking the right options in attack, but you look at their numbers as well, they don't tell us everything, but a typical Wayne Bennett team doesn't miss a lot of tackles, doesn't concede a lot of penalties, and doesn't make a lot of errors. The Dolphins have conceded the third least penalties of any team in the comp. They miss the third least amount of tackles per game, and they make the least amount of errors per game. So they don't beat themselves. They compete hard, and then Isaiah's taking some nice options on the back of it. And I think they're really enjoying some better depth this year. Mm-hmm. I backed the Eels. Eel. there it is. Last weekend, because of the outs that the Dolphins had, Hammer was out, Flegler was out, Herbie was out. They bring in guys like Tessie New, Ewan Aitken, Kenny Bromwich, Trey Fuller.
Yeah, had an absolute game of his life.
Yep.
And his second name in the NRL, I believe.
And he did similar things in his first one as well.
Yep, exactly. Yep. He was everywhere. Yep. And that right edge for Parramatta, they need to, probably, I don't know, they need to
blow it up.
All get sacked because they just went down that side and they could not be stopped. He's a live wire, and that's a great thing that they've got him when the Hammer's out.
Yeah, so yeah, very impressed with the Dolphins, I think. We were excited about where they might finish this time last year. I think there's more reason to be optimistic about them playing finals or, you know, flirting with a top eight spot this season, this time around. So, yeah.
And last but not least, the Manly Seagulls, who were sort of in a similar position to Newcastle this time last year.
Yeah.
With Turbo going
Fair
out.
Comparison.
One-man show. Seagulls are flying now, though.
Yeah, I think it's not a one-man show down there anymore at Manly. Turbo's still, you know, a very important part of their attack. But they're just so much more balanced now, similar to what I just said about Cronulla. Luke Brooks swinging over to that right edge and putting Jason Saab over in the corner. Like, those kinds of different looks Manly haven't presented to the defence for a long time. DCE and Hamole Olakau'atu.
They did the hard way on the weekend, though.
They did.
They went the hard way. I mean, I wouldn't have been happy if I was a Manly fan because I always thought this might have been a game they fell over with, and they were very close.
Yeah, Dizzy
was, he was up and at him, wasn't he?
And you were keen on the Titans too.
I did. I got on the Titans. I just thought it's a game where he's coming back to his former club, and there would have been a lot of talk about that. I think internally, I know Sieb said there wasn't, but there would have been, I'd say between the players, there would have been something like that talked about. Yeah. So, and Dizzy, obviously, it wasn't only him. I think there was trainers, physio that he took with him too as well. So there was a lot.
Ex-players. Brian Kelly,
Jared
Foran.
So there was a bit of interest in that game for them. So yeah.
I think two numbers that stood out to me looking at Manly, they're playing with 51.3% possession on average per game, which doesn't sound like a lot, but Penrith over the last 3 years have dominated the competition playing with roughly 53% possession per game. So that little 3% margin, you have to remember it doubles because it's 3% less that the opposition has as well. So they're spending a lot of time on the ball, and then their supports, 54% supports per game, is the second most in the competition. So they're moving a lot. They're presenting a lot of questions to the defence. And with guys like DCE and Turbo taking the right decisions, yeah, I'm really impressed with what Manly are doing this year. Is Luke Brooks a smoky Origin number six candidate?
I don't think so.
Save that for next week, eh?
Yeah.
I don't think Spoiler. So, anyway.
All right, we have a Anzac Day triple header coming up Thursday, starting with a blockbuster between the Titans and the Wars. the market speaks for itself here.
Why isn't it the Warriors and the
Great
Storm?
Great question.
Yeah. Why isn't it worried? They've always had history and they've always played.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that is a fair point.
PVL. Answer us.
Drop us a comment. Titans have held the Wood over the Wars, surprisingly. They've won three of their last four. Warriors are 6-4 at the line over the last 12 months, coming off a loss. And the last six games between these two have all gone under the total. So, look, Oscar, you're happy to back the Wars to bounce back from last week? I know you were pretty bullish on them at the start of the year to finish top four.
Yeah, I'm still pretty confident. I mean, there's a lot of injury concerns coming out of New Zealand right now. I think we saw what happened to them last week against the Dragons. Again, full credit to St. George for producing a really good performance. The Wars just ran out of legs. Mm. They've got a lot of middles missing at the moment. And it appeared that they just ran out of gas. Sean Johnson's got an Achilles issue that he's managing. So, yeah, my top four bet, maybe not as confident as I was at the start of the year.
I think if you want value this weekend, I think it's with the Titans.
I'm with the line. Well, that's my...
Going back to the well.
I honestly think
it is... Head-to-head or take the line?
I'm a head-to-head type of guy.
Yeah.
That's the type of guy I am.
I've heard that.
But I will say this. It's a Thursday night game. They get a long turn around the Titans. So they're... You know, it's still a 6 o'clock game for them over there or something. So their little, you know, dangle in the air from Desi will be, hey, boys, you get this job done, you can go and enjoy yourself in New Zealand for the night. Like, it's been done before. Like, I've been in teams where it's been done before where you get the opportunity. If you don't win, you don't go out. If you win, you go out.
Yeah, a bit of incentive.
It's a bit of incentive, honestly. Okay. It's a big one. So maybe take the line. Well, with the Titans.
I've taken an alternate line in for our multi line, for the Titans. I think they are down the bottom of the ladder for a reason. They have been well beaten in a few games this year, but they have improved every week. They probably should have won, arguably, against Manly last week. I think they were unlucky the weekend before. Fifita's playing more minutes. Beaufort-Moore starting on the left edge has been a problem for them defensively. And they look a lot better as soon as he goes to the middle and Fifita comes on that left edge, or they're playing Cleese Haas out there. So whether that's something Desi looks at this week, yeah, I think this will be much closer than the market suggests.
Mm. Speaking of close games, the traditional Anzac Day game last year between the Dragons and the Roosters was a classic.
Yep.
Chooks got up 27-26 that day. Dragons coming off an upset over the Wires last week. Mm. Chooks have lost three of their last four.
Wow.
Saints on the back of a win over the last 12 months are just 1-5, would you believe? And the last three between these two sides have all gone over the total.
Yeah.
So are we going to get another classic here?
I think we are.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. When it's got a bit of feeling about it, about Anzac, I think both players, both teams will be, you know, having ex-army in all week, knowing what this day means to Australians all around the country. All three of these games will have a bit of feeling about them.
Yep. This one the most.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Agree. This is the most traditional one. Yep.
What was it special for you as a player playing on this?
Yeah, it was, but I don't think it's as special to these two clubs. Like this, I think this is the biggest game of the weekend. Yep. And you're not going to see any blowouts in this one. Like we've said, we've seen the Dragons play some great footy last week. You know, and the Roosters aren't going that flash hot, but put both of that aside, I think it's going to be a close footy game. I don't know if there will be a blowout. I think it'll be nice and tight, and it's going to be a very enjoyable 4 o'clock game for us up in Queensland too.
Yeah.
Frothing at the beer.
Tasty.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a grind. A real scrappy one. I wouldn't be surprised if it finishes like 14-12 or something like that. I'm curious to see what Shane Flanagan does with Jack Bird and Zach Lomax when Birdie's back.
Well, he's back this week, I've heard.
Is he good to
go? Yeah, I've heard he's back this week. So and that's.
Does he slot straight back in a right centre?
I don't know where he goes, I don't know where he goes, but I know that they've, you know, he's
good to go.
He's good to go, and he wanted to get back for this game.
Yeah.
So, good he for might, the Dragons.
Maybe he gets reverted back to a bench role.
Wouldn't be bad. I mean, imagine him coming off the bench.
Yeah.
You know,
bit of leg speed through the middle.
Yep. And then the week after, he goes back to his normal position. But it's a big game. Like, you can't have not your best players, and Jack Bird is one of those guys. Yep. So he's got to be there. You know, he's got to be somewhere. Yeah.
Massive game for those two rivals. Lastly, we have. Well, Oscar, you didn't want to talk about the Rabbitohs, but we have to.
Yeah.
Storm versus Rabbits. Money's back off a bye. The Rabbits have won two of the last three between these two sides. Correct me if I'm wrong, but never won at Amy. Is that
never
right?
Never won at Amy Park.
Correct. Never.
Never. Yeah. So Storm by how much?
But we have. I'd forgotten about the fact we beat them in Magic Round last year. That was one of the most impressive performances I saw from Souths last season. I mean, you'd be a brave or a very loyal Rabbitohs fan to be taking the value head-to-head on Souths here. Jai Gray gets his second shot at fullback. But I think the biggest concern for the Rabbitohs is Tevita Totola is out for 12 weeks with a foot injury.
And they've had a week off, haven't they?
Yeah.
Souths just off the bye.
I just think they needed to, unfortunately, in the situation that they're in, they just needed to probably not have a bye.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, hindrance.
I know everyone's been like, oh, it's probably good for them to have a break and get all this stuff done. But I just think when you're in the heat of the moment and then all this noise is around, just keep playing footy and get better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Oscar, but
don't apologise.
I think this is going to be a really bad game for them.
Could be a long night.
Yeah.
The biggest problem for Souths this year has been their middle defence and their, I guess their yardage game through the middle. Tevita Totola has been our only productive forward, really. So now we're looking at, you know, putting bigger minutes into guys like Shaq Mitchell, Sean Kepi probably comes back into the side, Tom Burgess playing long minutes. That's a lot of big, immobile dudes through the middle against a Harry Grant and Ryan Pappenhausen and Jerome Hughes attack. Yeah, it could be a long night for the Bunnies.
Mm. Storm 13 plus is paying $1.80. So that pretty much tells you all you need to know with that one.
It's probably the right one.
Yeah. Good betting chat as always, boys. When we come back, we're going to play a game of Love It or Hate It. Fogs' Fast Five is off this week, so we'll mix it up. All right, boys, the great man Foggs is off, as I've said, so there's no Fast Five this week.
Good riddance.
Well, yeah.
Got us on a beauty a couple of times this year.
Mate, he sprayed me twice on the potty last week when I wasn't here as well.
Yeah, well, he's the best of that. He's the best of that.
He's a coward.
Yeah, he's a coward.
You fraud.
Don't come back.
Hell, I mean, maybe not that much, but
we're going to play a game of love it or hate it. Plenty of good scenes from rugby league over the weekend. Mm-hmm. The first was on Saturday night. Open champion Cam Smith in the sheds after the game with the Broncos, enjoying a few frothies. He didn't really want to be a part of it by the looks of it, but Paddy Carrigan and the boys dragged him into the huddle, and he's a big Bronx fan, that man. Love it or hate athletes from other codes being pulled into post-game celebrations.
I hated it because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's why I hated it. I'm selfish. No, of course we love it. Like, any way that we can get Cam's a boy from out one team way, Albany Creek way, you know, that's his home club out there. So to see him back, you know, home, obviously got lived down in Adelaide very shortly. So yeah, to see him back home, it's always really nice to see people like that. I think if you're a bandwagon, it's a bit of a different story. Who was it? School of Rock. What's his name?
Jack Black.
Yeah. He was just chucking every jersey. Yeah, you know, like, I mean, it's funny, but I'm all for the people who have been following their sides for a long time.
Yeah.
Cam's one of those guys.
He's day dot.
Oh, he is a day dot. Yeah. I've been lucky enough to have a beer with him before he became big dog Cam Smith. Not that he's changed now.
He's just the same bloke
guy
he ever was.
He's the same guy.
Yeah.
He just lives in Miami in a house worth $15 million. So, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Mate, they're just fans.
Yeah, they are.
Like, imagine if your team won the grand final and you got the opportunity to be in the sheds. Like, at the end of the day, like, I remember, was it Mick Fanning when Sharkies were?
Yeah, yeah, Sharkies.
I can still picture the grin on his face walking around the field. So, yeah, I mean, if you hate that, get over it.
Yeah, you've got issues. Yeah.
We all love that one. Boys, have you seen much of the Anzac jerseys that are coming out this week?
I've seen a couple of them, yes.
I've got them up on my screen here.
All right, I know which one I don't like.
Give us a sample. Which one don't you like?
I think was it the Manly one?
One here?
Oh, no, it's not the Manly one.
The Rabbitohs one and the Warriors are disgraceful. The Rabbitohs have got like a little blue collar for the.
Maybe
I
got it wrong.
They've done a navy one.
That's the Rabbitohs. Yeah,
look, it's
that looks like Bulldogs colours almost.
Full respect, obviously, to our Anzacs.
Is that for the navy?
But these
jerseys,
is it? I'd imagine so.
That's why.
Yeah,
I'm all for the Broncos one. The reason why I like the Broncos, not because I'm a Brisbane Broncos fan, but it obviously shows respect to here in Queen. Is it Queen Street Mall? I think it is. Or the memorial.
Yeah,
the memorial.
Anzac Square.
Sorry. So you know they've obviously shown respect to what it means for here in Brisbane. So to be honest, the Brisbane Broncos haven't really got much wrong in their jerseys in the last 5 years. So I'll cop that. What's it's a very colourful one.
The Warriors one.
Yeah, the Warriors one's very interesting. There's a lot going on there. I think the Dolphins one's very nice.
Dolphin one's
That's
cool.
Probably the best jersey they've
subtle,
ever actually made.
Yeah, subtle as well.
Cowboys. Yeah. Cowboys is they like always, a yellow and green.
Yeah, they always do very eccentric ones, though. Yeah. So it's not anything, you know, if you've gone from having a pretty content one to a crazy one, then you've probably got some serious issues.
I liked the one South did last year, the no colour one. It was like the black one. That one looked mean.
All for a great cause, obviously, for Anzac Day. But
some of them are.
I mean, if you're on that
questionable decision,
I would love to be on the board. You know, I'd love to be on those design teams. It'd be great to be able to be a part of those because you want it. You got to be able to sell it as well.
Exactly.
You know, it's not only you know,
and they're not cheap.
No, they're not. What about that? They're like $170 for a jersey now. Yeah. When did that happen,
mate?
When did this happen? Because I haven't bought a jersey in a long time. I've never needed to.
I just get Hannah jerseys.
Well, no, I'm serious. Without sounding rude, but I went to go and have a look at the diamond ones when I was at the. I was like $170. I went in there and the first person I seen was Walshy and I sprayed him. He's like, no, drive-by, what's going on? I said, you're putting the jersey. He's like, mate, I'm just a fullback. I'm like, fair enough. Just copping heat.
Do you buy beers in Brisbane?
Nah, mate.
No. We've been to the Caxton Street with you, Jarrell.
I've tried to stay one of Brisbane's favourite sons for a long time, and I'm going to hold on to it.
Very good. Lastly, Oscar, you sent this one through the group chat on Saturday night. I think you know what it is.
Oh, does he though?
Probably maybe he doesn't. Morgan Smithy's showing up to Suncorp in his TS.
Eshe, man. Oh, love it. Let's go.
You love it?
Yeah,
love it.
Well, there's Nikes now that have got Temper. What are they called?
The Tiempos.
TN.
Yeah. Oh, the TN.
So Walshy, I think Reese Walsh wore them last week or the week before.
Yeah.
He wore the Eshe's.
Yeah.
Did he do it without the socks?
No.
Because that's what really makes it.
No. What would make it Eshe's if it was someone else's boots?
He gets skin-coloured socks. He could wear skin-coloured socks. Oh, no, they're doing everything these days, these kids. Even, what about Reese Walsh? I mean, while we're on the topic with him, he's trying to go viral now. Did you see
what's he done?
Sketch, the guy on YouTube? He says, "What's up, brother?" And he's doing all the stuff that all the kids are doing on TikTok now.
Okay.
It's just getting.
Yep.
He's going to be.
He's ahead of the curve, that boy.
He's ahead of the curve. So all these celebrations are becoming viral. So, yeah.
Mate, he's.
He's marketable.
I'm going back to X's and O's here because I'm having withdrawals. I haven't talked enough about footy in the last 2 weeks. But some of the things Reese is doing at the moment, I mean.
That try he scored on the weekend was unreal.
Mate, the move, go back and watch that try. Timoko comes flying out of the line.
And he doesn't really,
Reese is moving off the ball. Like, in the time that it takes for the ball to leave, I think it was Ezra or Jock, I can't remember who
Jock's
threw the
hands.
Pass. Jock's
yep.
hands.
Yep.
In the time it took for the ball to leave Jock's hands and get into Reese's, Reese's looked up, seen Timoko, moved before, like as the ball's coming through him and then caught it. Swerving. Like,
and Timoko just was like,
yeah, he
had
did
nothing.
Yeah.
He's
like, oh, well,
and even
shit.
The left foot on Chevy Shewitt was classy.
He
made it look like he was going to, you know, run straight down the sideline. And that's honestly one of the hardest things you can do when you're trying to play one-on-one is always having that deceptive, you know, trying to beat someone on which way you're going to go. We did that a lot of training.
Yep.
And his left foot is unbelievable.
He's
done it to best in the game, to Cleary in the grand final.
Yep.
You know, I think they would learn.
Very similar shape.
Yes. I can't believe they haven't learned. So the best thing to try. You can't let him go because he's just going to go around you as well.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
His
man.
Timing and his positioning at the back of those block shapes is the best I've seen since. Like, it reminds me of Billy Slater.
Yeah.
He's 21 years old.
Yep.
Mm. I think. So unfortunate for Kalen Ponga with the injury, but I mean, I heard you boys talking last week, and you all said it immediately. Reese is the fullback for Queensland for the next 10. Like, it's his jersey.
Well, we didn't even have to say it. Billy Slater said it for us.
Did he say come out and say it as well?
He said, he goes, if he wants it, it's his jersey for the next, you know, 10 years.
Yeah, because the group chats are already going off, as I'm sure the listeners are as well, about, you know, who was going to be there before KP was injured. Like, Reese is a guy who can do things that no one else can, and I think Billy will build that team around. You know, we're going to defend the errors that Reese makes because he will make an error, and then he'll also set you up two tries.
And I know this is the love it or hate it segment, but we're loving Reese Walsh.
Oh, we're loving it. Oh, who is it?
We're loving it. And you know what? At the start of Billy Slater's career as well, when he was just a youngster, there's all these people talking about errors that he makes, Reese Walsh. Mm. Billy Slater made, because I went back and had a look, he was making a lot of errors when he first came into the game. Yeah. Wait till he hits his straps. We're in for a very beautiful rugby league story to watch Reese Walsh go. I love him.
Billy couldn't pass like
but
this.
But get those jersey prices down, Walshy. When he
boys, excellent edition of Love It or Hate It. We're going to come back with something that the punters hate, and that's our multi.
Surely they get one up this week. It's the NRL Podcast Multi.
Boys, the multi's been rough so far this year. There's no way around it. Mm.
There's plenty of time left.
There
what
it
are
is.
We, what are we, 27 rounds? We're only 7 rounds in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, optimism, glass half full, all that sort of
That's
shit.
That's what we've got to be like.
Yeah.
We have to be like that.
Last week, Jarrell, you took Jesse Arthur's anytime.
He's a real try scorer, isn't he?
Oh, my God.
Unlucky.
Unlucky us. I don't know what's going on. I can tip my own, you know, bets in, but I can't get this multi. None of us can. We can't put this multi together.
Yeah, we're battling really hard.
That's all right. We're like Reese Walsh. These are some early errors.
Yeah.
We're going to come out in the second half and we're going to brain them.
Did we even get one? We got one last year.
Yeah.
I think it was that one. See, yeah.
If we can double our tally from last year, then we're up.
Yeah.
So let's just go.
It's a low bar. So.
Yeah, I know.
Oscar, your two favourite words over the last 3 days have been eel. look.
Shout out to, I don't know if anyone follows Phil Gould on Twitter, but he likes to refer to teams in singular singular noun form. So, yeah, Eel from last week let me down big time. But up Titan this week. I've taken the Gold Coast alternate line plus 13.5 points.
Yep.
I think the line this morning as of Tuesday was 11.5. I like the extra 2 points there with a double converted try margin. But yeah, we spoke about Titans. I think they're building towards something, and the Wires are running out of troops through the middle. So yeah, I think this will be closer than the market suggests.
Fog for me, because last week he backed the Broncos and he had his mustache on the
on
line. And
he knew that we weren't going to lose.
So
he was a confident man, wasn't he?
He was, and he was up and about in the group chat. So his beautiful Mo is safe for at least a week. He got his tip up, and I tipped the Sharks to cover versus the Cows. So
well seen, mate. Well seen.
The record as it stands, Oscar, you've fallen to 4-4. JYY, you're 3-5.
Oh, that's ugly.
I've improved to 6-2, and Foggs is the reverse, 2-6. So Foggs is off this week, but he's chimed in. He's sticking fat with the Bronx. He's taking the alternate line, minus 7.5 against the Tigers on Saturday. JYY, who have you got?
Just share the look.
I've gone, what did I go?
The Dragons?
Yeah, I've gone the Dragons plus 5.5.
Yep.
Yeah, we've already spoke about it earlier in the potty. I just think it's going to be a very close game. So it's going to be a tight one. So I was going to take them head-to-head, punters, but I shit myself a little bit.
Yeah.
And I came back to
Earth. We need a win.
Yeah. So that's my bet.
Oscar, you've already said you're taking the Titans plus 13.5. I've gone Newcastle plus 6.5. Backs against the wall. I think they're going to prove they're not a one-man show. I just like that line there.
Well, you're going well in betting at the moment, so you just stick to your guns, mate.
Finns are still very undermanned. So to recap that, we've got the Broncos minus 7.5 against the Tigers, the alternate line. Dragons line against the Chooks, the Knights plus 6.5 against the Finns, and the Titans alternate line plus 13.5 against the Wires.
Lots of lines this week.
Yeah, lots of lines.
Lots of lines last week.
$9.06 for that one.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah. I'm going to get on it, punters. On it.
Well, you're in my seat, so just do it.
This pays.
Yeah.
You can find that multi in the special section of the Neds NRL section on the app. We're going to wrap up now, boys. What are we looking forward to this weekend?
I'm looking forward to having Adam Reynolds back in
Paying. Yes.
They both?
Both yeah, back. I've got a little whisper because obviously the teams won't be out right now. But yeah, I've heard from really good sources that both of them will be back this week. So that's going to make them even shorter against the Tigers. But yeah, they've done everything they can do properly, and it's going to be good. I mean, Jock's done a great job, and so have the boys that have filled in. But they are two integral parts of the Brisbane Broncos. So looking forward to them two coming back.
It's kind of flown under the radar. Like Reno has been spoken about because he's been in and out, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
Since moving to Brisbane, but Payne's been out for what, 5 or 6 weeks now?
Yeah, four to be exact.
Four weeks. Yep. Like when we're talking about the Bronx, like they were outside the eight 2 weeks ago when I wrote that piece. Like the little things that they're doing right, they're competing, guys like Ezra and Cobbo and Paddy stepping up when those boys have been out, I've mentioned. And then Kevy making good decisions. Like everyone wanted Tristan Saylor to go in there, and instead it was Jock Madden, and because he can play a similar role to Reno.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it. Bronx are looking good.
Yeah, they are looking good. And I just, they're going to be so big. I mean, having Payne back is just going to be damaging, enormous, unfortunately, for the Tigers.
Yep.
But it's great for, I mean, he might even come off the bench, you know. Like, imagine him coming off the bench. Unfortunate for them.
I'm looking forward to, I want to give a shout out to my rugby league club. UQ Hounds, kicking off the 2024 Universities Rugby League Queensland competition on Anzac Day down at UQ there. One of my best friends and brother for life, Jesse Domick, is making his coaching debut.
Ooh.
Son of NRL and Super League player Sid Domick. So yeah, shout out to the UQ Hounds. I've retired and I've got no itches to go back and play. But I also did register just in case Jesse.
But yeah, he's available.
Up the Hounds.
All right, boys, we've got to name the episode here before we go.
I don't know.
What about my ring, baby?
Oh, yeah.
Oscar gets hitched.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hitched up. Tied up.
Yeah.
Knotted up.
Yeah.
Ringed up.
Tied up. That could
Tied up.
Oh, yeah.
Tied up right now.
Love being tied
easy,
up.
Easy. Easy done. All right, boys. Thank you as always. Fogs is back next week. Listeners, we will be back to recap Anzac rounds. Talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcast? Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.